Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
We're sort of pressed in terms of time, but that's not to say that we won't sort of still take a couple of comments and questions. I'd just ask you to keep them brief, if possible, to one, some, or all of the speakers. We'll start off with Tony.
Introduce myself.
If you wouldn't mind again, please.
Tony Ward, University of York. So really just a question. There's a tension, I feel, in giving students feedback, which we clearly need to do, and it needs to be formative in development, and the counter to that, which is anonymous marking. I find it very difficult to give formative feedback that's developmental through the programme when every module is described, is assessed as an individual, discrete, anonymous item. Any comments on that?
Tremendous question, certainly one I've grappled with in the past, but does anyone want to...
I'll have a go if you like. I think it is a very interesting area. I mean, more widely than that, in terms of student feedback more generally, because one of the things we're tussling with at the moment is the difference between anonymous and protected identity. Because actually it would be very useful to us as an institution to know who is giving the feedback, because we like to look at, yeah, whether they're a mature student or a young student, what ethnic background they're from, whether they're male or female, what subject area they, because that gives you a much richer sense of engagement. And I think that's that balance between creating an atmosphere of trust where it's protected identity and it's not subjective in terms of your engagement with the student, and then having the ability to provide a formative experience. And the rather wry model I always use is drama departments. You know, how are you going to do anonymous marking and stick a bag on the head? There are always going to be aspects where we do need to engage with the students individually. And I think maybe in course structure, it's actually just finding that richness of not, again, a one-size-fits-all. You have some anonymous, you have some not. You have some formative feedback, you have some summative. You have some where it's obviously the student at work, you have some where it's participatingly learning. And you've got to find that balance.
Any other comments on that particular? I would in many respects echo what Phil has said, but I would build on, and I think that's the stimulus to actually say that we do need different sorts of ways in which students are firstly assessed, such that actually we don't have a reliance on one particular form. Certainly we shouldn't escape from the fact that there are. There's a fair amount of academic evidence that suggests that where there is no anonymous marking at all in place, particular certain sorts of students do tend to actually score better than others. And so, and there are also perceptions amongst students that where it's a very kind of visible, i.e., they know who's marking them and they know who's being marked, that there are kind of fears that some students go into, which may also kind of alter their performance as well. But where there's a sort of a balance between formative and summative group activity, I think that's often the best way in which it can be approached. But it's I think one that will continue to a debate also that will continue to rumble on as we go forward. Yes, please do.
I should say the other thing is also the question of timing, in terms of whether the anonymity is permanent or whether there's a point at which you can remove the anonymity and then concentrate on the feedback and you separate out the marking from the feedback processes. There's an alternative way of thinking about that.
Yeah. Any final comments or questions before we break? Yes, please do. Just wait for the microphone.
Thanks. Hello, Wendy Garner from the University of Chester. Just thinking about what you were saying, Dan, about closing the loop and helping students to get engaged and so on. I did an open consultation at the beginning of the year with the SET reps in our faculty. And what came out of it, actually, and this links with the IT side of things also and technology and so on, that what they wanted was a kind of a hub that was shared between staff and students of that key information. And what we did, a kind of distilled version down of what we did with that evaluation data. But within the hub also, they can sort of in a continual way feed in. So it's not just about set reps and whether you're vocal or confident enough to share your concerns. There's another way in. And it's a really simple idea, but just to say that it kind of ticks a lot of your boxes. It's very early stages, but it's the fact the students have built it, and it's kind of, like you said about the transactional analysis, adult to adult, shared transparency. So I thought that was really good. Thanks.
Do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, just that it reiterates that it's... Well, I didn't mention it, but to mention it now, that kind of closing the feedback loop and responding to students needs to be in a consistent way, and that achieves that perfectly. So other examples I know of are the first lecture of a new module tends to be somewhat introductory, and there could be a mandatory inclusion of a slide that says, this module is based on feedback from your predecessors, this is how it's changed, or that could be placed within a module handbook if they exist. I think the important thing is there, students know where they can find that, and for each and every module they can find that, and they know that there's an expectation that their feedback is being listened to and, importantly, responded to, as is evident here.
My observation on that is it needs to be at the same level. So there are lots of institutions for whom there will actually be quite a lot of dialogue between the students' union executive, say, and the institutional senior staff or faculty staff, deans and so on. And they will be very kind of au fait with the changes that have made. But the students themselves who have filled out the module evaluation forms have literally no clue what's gone on. But it's also thinking about different ways in which I think technology can be utilised to kind of speed things up in terms of... So over the last few years, I think it's been really heartening to see... this is one of the things I tried to bring to students' unions as president of NUS, is that their core function was about being the voice of students on learning and teaching issues. You know, broader political and international issues are important, but actually you're the only body that can speak on behalf of students. And we started to see kind of lots of you said we did type activity, you know, along the lines that you've described. I think yours sounds more innovative, but that tended to be in the form of a notice board, and again that might only reach certain sorts of students, the ones that are prepared to kind of pore over that activity. How can we use not just Blackboard, but actually how can we use Facebook and Twitter to get departments saying what they've done and get that kind of dialogue moving around more quickly and more in touch with students. One final comment and then we'll break.
Sorry again, Peter Blanchfield from Nottingham. One thing we did, our students were complaining that their SEM things came at the end of the module, and so their complaint was, what difference will it make to me even if I make good comments? And so one of the things we did was to move that forward to the middle of the semester. However, then you get the comment, this is too early to do this, we don't know how to evaluate this module, it's not finished. But it has had a positive effect on the student attitude towards those assessments.
Yes, I've had those described as post-mortem evaluation surveys sometimes if they're just seen as something that's happened after the event and it's getting the balance between the two. But you're right, again, their attention is there as well. Right, I'm conscious of time. Thanks very much for the comments and questions. Can I also really ask you to thank all of the speakers? It's been a fascinating session.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.